I have to say, Tim, that if we were having a contest as to who was the most nervous, I'd win hands down. You'd have no chance of being. Really what I want to say is that I'm a very ordinary person, very ordinary indeed, but I have an extraordinary saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died to save his people from their sins. He is my saviour because he was supremely obedient to his Father to carry out his Father's plan of salvation and redemption for sinners. And I'm a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. I am his and he is mine. I had the privilege, I see it now as a privilege, but not always as a teenager, certainly. I was brought up in a Christian home. I had Christian parents. But I gave them a hard time in my early teens. I didn't like the way I had to behave. I didn't like going to church. I was a pain. In fact, my father said to him, not too long before he died, about 25 years ago, you were a rather unpleasant teenager. My father was a gentleman, and that was quite a rebuff, I have to say, from him that time. I was rebellious because I didn't like going to church, but I was taken along to the Young People's Fellowship, and we were in a church in Reading, in Berkshire, and on a Saturday night, it was the 12th of November, and I think it was around the early 60s, to a Young People's Fellowship meeting. And for about 6 or 8 weeks prior to that, every time I'd been in church or I'd been in the youth meeting, I had, I realise now it was the Holy Spirit convicting me of my sin and my need to repent and believe. But I just thought the person was always speaking to me as an individual and could never work out quite how he knew what was going on in my life. But I have a very stubborn streak, and there was no way I was going to become a Christian. And my stubborn streak is still there, because Olive told me yesterday I was very stubborn. But on this particular Saturday night, I can't tell you what was spoken. I can't even remember who spoke. But I do know that although initially when I thought, not this again. And I thought, no, I can't sit here. I can't sit here. I have to go. And then the Holy Spirit must have worked in me. And I stayed and I listened. And I repented, and I believed, and I knew I was saved. It was an answer to my parents' prayers, and it was a life-changing event, because that was Saturday night. On Monday, I had to go to school. I hated school. I didn't work. But I realized, as a Christian in school, I had to knuckle under, I had to work, I had to study. And that was when the change started and hopefully became evident. I eventually got some GCSEs, or there were O-levels in those days, and I, under the Lord's guiding, commenced nursing down in Bournemouth, about 1965, I think it was, and I loved it. I would say to you as a fellowship that if you have students who are in nursing or nursing staff, please look after them, because with the ludicrous shifts they work, irregular hours and having to work weekends, they can be absent from the fellowship, and they need to be cared for as much as everybody else who attends week by week. And it was after I'd qualified, I made a big mistake because I fell in love with a non-believer, and it was the most stupid thing to do because it is so painful. I knew the Bible told me not to do it. I knew my parents had told me not to do it. I've been taught up in churches that it was wrong to do. But again, my stubborn streak didn't stop me from doing what I wanted to do. However, thankfully, God won. We stopped the relationship. And at that time, my parents had moved up to Lancashire. And my father wasn't terribly well. So to get out of the environment in which I was in, I decided, and obviously it was the Lord's will, that I went home. And I did say to my parents, I will come home for 6 months. That was June 1970. And apart from 2 years when I worked abroad, I've been there ever since. So it is the longest 6 months of anybody's life. But I think I will end my days up there as well. But when I went to Orton Park Baptist Church then, we had a pastor called John Beatty, who looked remarkably like Captain Birdseye from the old Fishfingers advert. But he was a very astute man and a very loving man, although he could be a bit of an ogre. And he said to me after he got to know me a bit, "Jean, girl, you're backsliding. Do something about it." So my hackles rose and I thought, don't like you. But anyway, the Lord was gracious and I was restored to him. And I was doing midwifery then. I changed from nursing to do midwifery. And as I say, I'd only intended to do it for 6 months, but I did it until I retired because it kind of gets under your skin after a while. But God was very gracious to me during my career. I had a good career. I enjoyed it for the most part, most of the time. And I learned a lot through it. But we moved into higher education, and I didn't particularly like that. I didn't like the politics of it. And I thought, I got to about 58, and I thought, I don't think I could stand this for another 2 years. And it was absolutely miraculous to me that everything which I asked the Lord about, which was my mortgage, what I would do when I retired, how I would cope, all fitted into place. Everything just seemed to smooth its way through. I received help over my mortgage from somebody I was working with who had been in the previous existence, had worked selling mortgages. And everything was just sorted out, and it was wonderful. But the one thing which I really do praise God for is that there is a young couple in the church, Gwen and Robert, who had, at that stage as I was retiring, their first child, Isabel. And Gwen had to go back to work and was really worried about who would look after the baby. And I said to Gwen, "Well, you know, I'm retiring. If you think I'm the right person capable of doing it, I'm offering to fill that gap for you. But I said, I don't want you to make a rash decision. Go away, pray about it with Robert, and I will pray about it. In a month's time, we'll meet up and we'll see what we can do." Anyway, a fortnight later, they came back and said, "Oh, yes, please." So I've had a great retirement. I love it. And I love being here, getting food first, being a pensioner. But it's been an absolute joy to me to have the friendship and the fellowship with Robert and Gwennon, to look after Isabel and now look after Reuben. I have to admit, with the onset of more years, I've gone from doing 3 days a week just down to two, and that is more than enough. I also help out with the Little Fishes, which is our Mums and Tots group. But it's really good. I did have some trepidation about retiring because it was so different, but it truly has been superb. And it's all been of God's doing, none of mine. I would never have dreamt it would have worked out this way at all. One thing which causes me problems is that I have a tendency to get a bit morbid and to become depressed. And it's at times like that when I would love to be a hermit. And Billy's sitting there and he always tells me I can't do it. But I withdraw stupidly from the fellowship, sometimes from the Lord himself. But I have to say, I have nothing to be depressed about, and it really is like a satanic attack, and I dislike it intensely, and I get very guilty and very frustrated about it. But I can honestly say that the Lord is very, very, very gracious and is very long-suffering and has always brought me back by his grace and his mercy and his love. And I do thank the fellowship at Orton for their caring, for pastoral care, and it's just good. One thing which, as a result of a fairly recent period of not feeling 100%, I've looked at the hymn, and it's 493 in this hymn book, and it says in the first verse, "How deep the Father's love for me, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch like me his treasure." I mean, what could be better than to be treasured by the Lord God? I think awesome is a word which is used very much these days, but it is an awesome thing. It has become a really awesome thing to me that I am treasured by the Lord God. It's amazing. And I'm sure as Christians, you must feel it too. You who are parents, you treasure your children. We are the children of God if we believe in him, and we are his treasure. And I know that he will supply my every need. not my wants, but my needs, and that in him dwells all a treasure all divine, and it is matchless grace that has made that treasure mine. So I come back to what I started in the beginning. I am a very ordinary person. I have an extraordinary Saviour who died for me. And if I had been the only sinner, he still would have gone to the cross for me. Such is his love. And I'm saved by grace, by God's grace and his mercy. And it's not for my glory, it's for his and his alone. Sorry, I can't compete with length.
Right. Thanks very much.